Welcome to the Layer 8 Podcast, Season 3, culminating with the Layer 8 Conference on Saturday, October 8th. This year's conference will be all virtual, no travel required. This season, we'll have conversations with OSINT investigators and social engineers who will tell their stories. We hope you enjoy them. Welcome to another episode of the Layer 8 Podcast. We have a special guest for you today. We have the fake PhD investigator. Welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going great. For the benefit of our listeners, could you let them know a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I've been working in OSINT investigations for about five years or so, 4.5 years formally. I have kind of stumbled into this from how life developed for me. I'm a freelance investigator, and so I get hired for projects here and there. And I just make my way and through the OSINT world, and I keep up to date with all the newest tools that are always changing. I have an active Twitter presence.
So you are known on Twitter as the fake PhD investigator. You like to look into fake PhD people. How did you get a start with that sort of very specific interest?
That's one of the things I do, and I just got fascinated by that specific topic. I mean, I do a lot of other OSINT investigations. I first kind of came into this, and it was probably 2016 or 2017. I was under attack from an ex who used a lot of social engineering tools to get to me and harm me. And so I was trying to defend myself and do some investigations of my own. And that's how that kind of developed, where looked into a lot of details online. I had to really figure out what is what and who is who, who's a threat actor to me. That's how that developed. And then I found out this ex actually claimed to have a master's degree from the University of Bogota. And so I found out that the University of Bogota doesn't exist. There are universities in Bogota, but that university doesn't exist. And I kept digging and just really looking for a lot of details. And so it turned out this ex is her life story didn't add up. Every major point in her life was either a complete fabrication or substantially altered in the narrative. And so a friend of mine then sort of knew about my story, and I got hooked up into this threat investigation team. So threat intelligence, I was then part of a threat intelligence team. And my job was OSINT to, investigate open source threats, potential threats, emerging threats on social media and elsewhere, with a threat actor being a nation state, actually. That was sort of my start into this whole fray. And then one of the clients later got me to investigate somebody who turned out to have a fake PhD. And so then I looked into who else has got a fake PhD, and it went from there.
Is this a widespread problem? Because I know you and I have talked about a couple different people that you've investigated. Are there a lot of people who claim to have a PhD and actually don't and are using that for their own gain?
There are many, many people with fake degrees. I think the BBC ran a story some years ago that there's like 50,000 fake degrees issued per year or something like that. Not many of them are PhDs. And the reason is a PhD is very, relatively easy to verify in comparison to a master's or a bachelor's degree. It is still not straightforward every time, but it's fascinating because the person who claims to have a PhD that they don't have is really uses the social capital that comes with having a PhD to prevent people from asking questions. That fascinates me. How can you get away with that even? Because these things are so public. Most PhD theses are published somewhere, or there's a trace of it, or you have to have a trace of, some type of research. So it's just a fascinating topic. I guess there are many more that I haven't discovered, and I'm sure people claim this all the time. I try to focus on the interesting cases. When it comes to these fake degrees, there's a completely fake made up degree from a university that that, you know, that exists. Or there's, you know, you can have a degree from, say, in microbiology from University of, I don't know, Florida or something like that, something easily verifiable, totally legit. And then there's everything in between. It's kind of fascinating. You can have a PhD from, you know, 6 weeks PhD based on life experience from a, you know, university in Romania or something. You pay for that. That's a PhD. How legitimate is that? Yeah, well, it's not. There's people writing PhDs, and that's also an interesting topic with they're ghostwritten, and they have to defend that at some point and somehow make it through that process. And then there's degrees from, you know, religious institute in the U.S. So they're not accredited, but you got a university or whatever. Somebody makes up a university. It's a religious institute. So there's fewer questions. And then they just give out degrees. Often those are very expensive. So some of these are, I checked into it, like $26,000 or something for a degree from a university that's not accredited. But they go from anywhere between some like $2,000 to $3,000 all the way up to $26,000. So these are semi-legitimate. You know, there's somebody can answer the phone and say, yeah, we issued this degree to them. There's this whole spectrum of fakeness, you know, in degrees. Yeah, not all of them are bought, you know, for the purpose of specifically deceiving an employer. Sometimes it's just deceive an audience or, you know, to be able to deceive an audience or to be able to simply impress people and tell yourself that you actually have this. I mean, you could just lie to yourself and say, I don't have, you know, I have a degree. And then that makes it easier to tell this lie to other people. It's a fascinating subject. There are, and I found a list of people. There was a list of people. Somebody gave me a tip. So I get tips as well through Twitter. And somebody gave me a list, a link to a list of people with fake degrees. Some fake university got busted over a decade ago. Somebody at the prosecutor's office leaked the list of people, 10,000 people who you know, had bought a fake degree there. And so there's a long list of people. And I did go through that. And I found somebody in there that is still using that degree today. That's subject to, you know, another publication at a later date. Yeah, people give me tips. It's always somebody who says, hey, I suspect something is wrong with this person. And then I start investigating, trying to find out everything about this person, what matches, what doesn't match up.
Is it hard for you to sometimes prove a negative? Because one of the things that you mentioned is that to get a PhD, typically you have to write your thesis and put your thesis out there and publish it. But just because you can't find it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So how often do you have trouble trying to basically prove the negative and where you're doing all your digging and you just can't find anything to the point where eventually you're like, okay, now I feel comfortable saying like this person has not actually written a thesis.
Yeah, that's a very good point there. So when somebody does have a PhD and I look into it, it's very quick. Sometimes it takes us 3 minutes to verify because they have the PhD and it's on online. It's all out there and, you know, they have the credentials anywhere, you know, maximum half an hour, something like that. Some PhD theses are actually not published. But if you have a full legitimate degree from, you know, a recognized university, that process is very quick. When that doesn't show up, that's what takes a lot of time, sometimes weeks. I sit on this stuff for weeks. This one case that I'll mention later, we've been working on for months just to verify. This is a very long process. So you can never be 100% sure. And there's a degree of confidence that you have. You know, if it's above 95%, then yeah, there's indicators that no, this person. It also depends on what that person claims. If they claim a degree from a specific institute, then yeah, you know, something can be done. It might take a while, but you know, I can call a librarian or something. You know, we'll figure that out eventually. If they just claim to have a PhD and there's nothing, then you have to start digging. And there was a case where I did have to do that. I had to start digging. And I eventually found where they had made that claim or where this person had gone to the university and was a PhD student. And that was an exhaustive Google search. You know, Google doesn't display everything. So eventually I found that. And so then I was able to by the process of elimination through their resume or their CV or whatever they put on online and what they've been doing since then to prove that they just didn't have the time. You know, there was no time to do a PhD. There wasn't, you know, at the time, you know, there wasn't a remote degree or anything like that. You could never work from home for a degree. That's changed. So you have to prove all these details just for yourself to satisfy yourself. And that takes a very long time. That's true. And that's where you get in with, you know, you have information, then you have to assign a level of confidence to that information and sort of lay it all out and piece it together until you can convince yourself that this is that way. Or, you know, if you're 99% sure, maybe I'm willing to, you know, put myself out there and maybe make that false claim if it should be false, you know, and just to see what reaction I get. And that's also the thing you say, hey, you can also make just say, I haven't been able to find anything that can verify that you have a PhD. And then you see the reaction. What's the reaction? And so if the reaction is, hey, they take down all their PhD and doctor mentions online, well, you're onto something.
And I'm guessing that some people are thinking it's as easy as just calling the university and asking. If I claim to have a PhD in microbiology from University of Florida, I would think that one of the first things that you do is you call the University of Florida and ask. In your experience, are all universities forthcoming? Are they able to give out that information if you just call up and say, does this person actually have this degree? And all you're looking for is a yes or no answer. What's your experience with how good universities are giving that information?
So I rarely call. I don't have to do that. PhD theses from a legitimate university are all online. They're all published. They're or at least part of the repository of their library. So you can check that. And if that doesn't exist, then you check, hey, did somebody maybe graduate or claim to have graduated? Yeah, I check on LinkedIn, you know, from that university with that degree in that year. And then I see, is that supposed peer's degree online? You know, can I find that? Yeah. So it's mostly an online investigation because PhD theses are just subject to, you know, collection. They're deemed very important for researchers. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, if somebody makes a claim that they have a PhD from a legitimate university, they really have an uphill battle if they don't have that degree. You're going to be able to find out. I checked at the Harvard Business School. I was checking those once and I wasn't able to find their degrees online or their PhD dissertations. And I did contact them. And that's when I did use some social engineering, I guess, to say, hey, you know, I'm just looking for this degree. I can't find it. Eventually, I was shut down by the librarian saying, hey, this is information just available to graduates. Are you a graduate by any chance? And so that's where that ended. But, you know, I was able to get somewhere with that. But yeah, normally these things are easily verifiable. Master's degrees, harder. Bachelor's degrees. In the US, most universities are part of this verification system where you can just pay, I think, $15 and get that verification if the person does have that degree.
And are you ever asked to validate something more specific than just the existence of the degree? Like if somebody's claiming that they had honors or distinction with their PhD, is that something that somebody might ask you to validate as well?
I haven't been asked to do that. I do other investigations that go into a lot of detail. I later got into background investigations, doing background investigations for people. Very boring subject because you don't find anything. You know, maybe there's one in 100 people. I don't know. You can maybe take their application, their job application or whatever they submitted for documents. And you just try to verify all of those claims or something that they mentioned in a job interview, try to verify those. Most of that checks out. That's a tedious job, but it's also time consuming because you can't find anything. And then I, you know, just want to keep digging, see if this is there and this is there. So I have to limit myself to, you know, how far do I want to go into this person's background? Do I really you know, want to check their ex-girlfriend's Facebook account for any who liked that photo from 8 years ago. And, you know, that's, you know, maybe that's what the FBI does with their background checks. But, you know, I don't have the time, or I guess that would be just very expensive to do. And I have to stop at some point when I do those checks.
When people do actually have their PhD, that usually opens doors for employment, for jobs, for contracts, whether that's private or through the government. So there's a financial gain to having a PhD. If somebody is claiming to have the PhD and they do some of those things, maybe they have a government contract. Do you ever also get involved with law enforcement? Because that would seem to be a fraudulent claim, which may be a crime. Is that something that you also get involved with?
Interesting question. Yeah, I haven't worked with law enforcement or anything, or actually, well, on the one case, but that, you know, I wasn't directly involved with law enforcement. It just happened to be that this one case, a counterterrorism expert, Jan St-Pierre. So he was claiming this PhD for years, and his business partners thought that something was wrong. They said, check this guy out. I checked it out. Surely enough, didn't have a PhD. And then we went got a little bit more funding for further background checks. What else is he hiding? And so I did a whole timeline. There was so much information online. And I do want to talk about Google, because it's not an easy tool. I mean, that's where I get most of my information from. If I Google that guy's name, there's like 80 hits. And then, so I don't know how Google, how the algorithm really works, but you really have to work around the limited information that they give you to, you know, salt your search with, you know, random words or just things that you think that person might have done. The Google dorking is a big thing, because Google just isn't, you know, if you just search somebody's name, you don't come up with all the information that there's out. But what I came up with was this timeline that this person had, you know, where this person was, because the PhD was from supposedly the University of Geneva. So very specific. So that was easily verifiable. They have, turns out they have all of their graduates' names online, just straight up on their website. He wasn't to be found anywhere there. Then we came up with a timeline on, you know, what has he done since or then? And it turned out, it's really fascinating, he had been denied a place to study there in 2007, but then went on to, you know, take part in these international conferences in, you know, in Brisbane, in I think Philadelphia, San Diego, in Slovenia, and you know, all over the world as a PhD student from the University of Geneva for years altogether, until 2011 or something like that. So for 4 years after he was rejected from that university, he was, you know, an international con man. I guess these types of conferences don't really check your background. They don't verify whether you're from that university. You just, you know, you just mention that in your registration and they take your word for it. And so he was giving talks, you know, at international conferences all over the world with, you know, with his credentials that he didn't have, with his, you know, accreditation from the University of Geneva that just didn't exist. So he's traveling the world, and then at some point ended up in Germany and reinvented himself into some type of, you know, left-wing activist with the Occupy movement at the time. Went all in with that. Completely, you know, taking part in these demonstrations, organizing things. And that's, you know, we were able to find that out through all these searches and through these snippets on the internet. There's sometimes just snippets of information that I had to then pivot from to do another search, you know, to run the whole thing back through like Spiderfoot or whatever, you know, if we got an additional email address or something. And so this just ended up taking many months. And that's where we get back to this law enforcement thing. That guy ended up being prosecuted for using, you know, for title fraud. He had used the title illegitimately and just claimed the title for business purposes. And so there was, I guess, there was a whole process of verifying. I don't know what the prosecutor's office did, but I did make a list of, you know, times when he had officially used his PhD, supposed PhD degree. And that was... that then went somehow to the prosecutor's office. But I have not worked directly with law enforcement. Having a fake PhD isn't really a very criminal act. You know, I mean, that guy, I think he got sentenced to, I don't know, $2,000 in fines or something like that. You know, it's not a high crime. That doesn't really get pursued.
Is that something that is illegal in the United States, that title fraud? Is that where this person was prosecuted?
That person was prosecuted in Germany, actually. Okay. And, you know, Germans are famously uptight about their documentation. So, but there are laws. There's a law in Italy, I believe, where it's illegal, but it's just like a 50 euro fine or something like that. It's more like, you know, jaywalking or something. In the US, there are laws, but it depends on the state and depends on what you do with it. So there are specific laws in some states where if you use a fake degree to get work somehow or claim that for your work, then that is not allowed. But I also don't think these are nominal offenses. I don't think a prosecutor would really go after that person unless there was something else, unless there was like a pattern of deception or there is, you know, somebody profited from it excessively.
I just think that's fascinating that someone is going to use fake credentials to go around and speak at conferences on their topic. Because, for example, if I claim to have a PhD in microbiology and then I'm going and speaking on microbiology at conferences, that's going to attract other people who are interested in microbiology, including some who might have actually gone to the university that I claim to have been from, including during the years that I claim to have been there. And I'm pretty sure that when you have a thesis, you also claim who your advisor is and who your PhD defense team was. So you have to have all those names lined up and you're standing in front of this room of people who actually did the work. And I would think at some point they're going to be like, hey, I was at the University of Florida during those times. And that person was also my advisor. I've never heard of you before. Takes some guts.
It does. I think it's just this overconfidence of this person, you know, just to see how much they can get away with. And this guy, Jan St-Pierre, if you Google him, he's still working. He's still consulting. He was just on France 24, the TV news stations in France. He's continuing to do his thing just to see how long and how far he can get away with this. And yeah, I did research if there was somebody else from that university at those conferences, and there was, just not in the same talk, or I guess you can just kind of avoid each other. But yeah, it doesn't work for microbiology. You're right, it doesn't, because you really have to know stuff. No, this guy's claiming to be a PhD in political sciences. So political sciences, yeah, that works, you know, because you can just have a different opinion. And academics, you know, call each other idiots all the time for having a different opinion. So, you know, you can kind of not make a whole lot of sense and people will just nod and think, well, that's just your opinion. I believe that this guy really did get proficient in some areas of his work. And this is where I also found in numerous cases, you know, if somebody lies about a PhD, in almost every case, they have a lot more going on than that. Because if you lie about the PhD, then you lie about all sorts of other things. Maybe there's some type of fraud going on, or, you know, it's got to come to that point where you, in your life, where you make that claim and you think that this is, you know, this is you. You've got to be deceiving yourself. You have been deceiving people for decades. You know, there's, and that's what I found as well. In almost every case I've investigated, that person had other things going on. There's something else wrong. They, you know, they're taking money from somebody. Yeah, there was a case in Germany, also Germany. There's a Turkish professor from Turkey, and it turned out that he was actually undercover with the Turkish Secret Service, and he didn't have a PhD. So, but he got busted for the PhD, and then people found out, hey, this guy's, you know, working for the Turkish government. This isn't, you know, he's been pushing this narrative, you know, this pro-Turkish government narrative for a long time. And then the reason is he's getting paid by them, you know, and he's not just some independent academic who just thinks that way. And so, yeah, there's always something else that's really wrong if somebody gets to the PhD level, you know. If somebody's claiming a bachelor's degree that they don't have, it could just be that they just wanted to get this accounting job, or I don't know what, you know, it's more low level. or sometimes, you know, they've been working in government for a while, and then to get a promotion, they need a degree that they don't have, and now what? So they just buy a fake one somewhere, you know. But with a PhD, you just have a whole, you know, another level of, you know, of conceit, essentially.
Yeah, there's definitely some extra social engineering happening there, or maybe it even falls into the old George Costanza line where it's not a lie if you believe it. So is this also something that you've experienced? Because as you were talking, I remembered that I'm actually connected to someone on LinkedIn who has my exact name, same name, but they actually have a doctorate. So what if I were to claim that I'm that person? So when you call up that person's university and say, does Patrick Laverty have a doctorate? They're going to say, yes. How would you differentiate the real person from me?
Oh, you can do that. Yeah. But email addresses or date of birth. I mean, generally that's verifiable. A Michael Smith is really hard. Yeah. If you are a Michael Smith, you can probably get away with a lot. And because you just disappear, you know, into anonymity. People have a unique name. That's going to be very difficult. Yeah. And people that have namesakes of, you know, there's like two or three other people like that. You can differentiate that. Yeah. It takes more time, but you can do that. Yeah. And you find pictures, you know, of people that have done this. I look up people, I look up the pictures, you know, PIMEYE used to be free anyway, use that. But it's a tool, you know, it's not always good. We found a picture of that guy, Jan St-Pierre. We found a picture of him. And I didn't find that. I was, you know, the client actually found that picture of him, where his face isn't visible. It's just his hair. And that a tool can't do that for you, you know. You find a picture of him at a certain location at a certain time, and you just know, hey, that's his hair, you know. And looking at these pictures, that's that guy. Yeah, that's some tools are really limiting. But I have used PIMEYE on quite a few things. I use archive.org extensively. That's the other thing. If somebody's claiming a degree that they don't have, it's really hard for them because, you know, the universities are sort of the first nations of the internet. They've had things online for a long time. You can look stuff up back to like 1997. What happened at the university at that time, you know, who was there, you know, who might have been your supervisor or something. So it's a real uphill battle for somebody claiming a degree from a legitimate university.
So you mentioned some of the tools and some of the steps that you take. Could you explain a little bit about your methodology? So for example, somebody contacts you and says, this Jan St-Pierre person, I don't think they actually have a PhD. Could you look into that for me and you accept that? Where are you going to start? What are some of those pivots? You mentioned you do the Google Dorks. You mentioned that you use Spiderfoot. Could you just dig into that a little bit further to go over your methodology and thought process?
So I first have to sort of caution the client that, you know, it could be very expensive. I'm going to do a preliminary analysis to see the depth of the information on this person. If there isn't a whole lot, sometimes people have wiped themselves off the internet or they've never gone on it to start with, or social media. You know, if there isn't a whole lot, yeah, it's going to be inexpensive. I can find out everything for you. And, you know, I'm being done within a day. So I do this preliminary analysis, you know, what's the depth of the information. And then, you know, if they come back and say, yeah, go ahead, you know, with this, you know, we'll do how many days, and we'll just look what's out there and let me know along the way, you know, how much time you need. Then I can look into, and I can really look into some stuff. So yeah, what are the steps? Like everybody on OSINT starts, you know, email address, phone numbers, social media profiles, all of those get searched. And then specifically for what information do you want? You really have to limit it to what information somebody wants. But with a PhD, then I just look at the PhD. You know, what's this guy been researching, and what is he an expert in? Who are his contacts, his friends, his you know, his professional contacts? What do they post about him? That kind of thing. Where's this person been? It's just overall general search. And I do use, yeah, I've used Spiderfoot. Archive.org is always a good one. You know, if somebody has appeared on a website, or they have not, they don't appear on a website because it's old, information, then you just go back to that. And it depends on if you find a photo, you know, if in that process I find a photo, then I try to locate that photo as to, you know, where, when, who else is in the photo. Yeah, it just depends on what you need, how far are you willing to verify this. And it can take a long time, or it can be, you know, a background check for somebody who just applied for a job, and in which case it's very quick. It could be an hour for me to just to verify a couple of things. Somebody, yeah, if done this where a client comes in, yeah, we get an hour, here's six candidates, spend an hour each just to check. And then I do a cursory check. They may have things that they're hiding, but I'm not checking for that.
You referenced little snippets, or maybe somebody got rejected from university. That seems like a tiny bit of information that can be extremely helpful. What do you personally use for your own documentation or mind mapping your flow and your process? How do you do your documentation?
Good question. Yeah. So I use just a Word document where I just dump the information and the links into it. And then I have a separate column where I assign a value between 1 and 5 for the reliability of the information. And so that's sort of the information dump is a Word document. And then it depends on what I need to produce. You know, for one of the cases, I produced a video to explain the information I found, you know, usually 3 to 5 minutes, something like that, where I just summarize the information and visually present it, because that's easy to understand for everyone. In another case, produced, you know, a 28-page dossier, you know, with all the, hey, this is this person's, private life. These are their associations professionally. He's been with this company, and then he explained that. Take the background, next company, this company, you know, or the academic background check. He's been at this university or this university, or he's given this talk. It just depends on what's required or requested. So after I have this Word document, I just organize the information into a more coherent presentation.
And I know we often get students listening to this and people looking to start out in the industry. And often the advice that we give people is if you want to start with OSINTing and get practice with that, just go do some OSINT investigations on yourself. Would you recommend? I would think that students might be curious about your specific area of checking into PhDs. Would you recommend that a student tries this kind of investigation on their professors at the university?
That'll be a quick search, because obviously the professor is going to have, or maybe not, you know, I mean, it would be a quick search, you know, if it's true, but yeah, certainly do that. I would recommend that, yeah, or anyone. But if you want a longer investigation, PhD investigation may not be the best thing to start with. I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to say what you really, what is needed for in somebody being OSINT is just the curiosity mindset. You really want to keep digging, you know, you want to keep getting more and more information. You have to have this innate desire to really want to know more. And if you're either you're that person or you're not, you know, and if you are that person and you actually enjoy that, then maybe this is a good fit for you.
And do you have any personal rules or tips for others about when you start digging and when you've decided that you've dug far enough? If you're not finding anything, that doesn't mean that it's not there, but it might not be there. And some people say, like, I'm going to dig for an hour, and if I get nothing, I'm going to back up and repivot. Do you have any of those kinds of rules specific for yourself?
I don't. I mean, it really depends on the investigation. You know, if I get to a point where too much time is spent, I might still start looking for something, you know, if I'm very curious and there's, I don't have the budget to do it, but I will still keep looking just out of curiosity or do follow-ups, you know, later on. Hey, what's this person up to now? Because I'm just curious on what has happened in the case. I just tend to get carried away really with the information. And maybe that's a very good thing for you know, an OSINT professional. The other thing I've heard people say, you know, OSINT, that's information is not intelligence, but it can be. I think maybe some OSINT professionals are just afraid that, hey, maybe they're just peddling information, but If I find, if I walk down the street and I find a list of drug dealers in my neighborhood with their phone numbers, you know, that's just information, but it's also intelligence. It's information can very much be intelligence just on its own. I find there's always a process to come up with the conclusions and of what's going on with your investigation. And that's an important step. And I think that's probably the most important step in the end, because if you're a professional, you need to produce a product for somebody that is interested in that, and they need to understand what's going on and what you have done. And it's easy to get carried away with an investigation, not have documented it properly, not being able to, you know, write a coherent story because you don't have the, you can't back up your knowledge. That's happened to me in when I first started. Just started looking and looking, and then I thought, this is what's happening. I know what's happening. And then I couldn't find that website again, or, you know, it was on, you know, it's not Googleable because it's on archive.org, and it was website backup from 2013, just for the information that was only available for a month on that website. And then you're spending hours retracing your steps. So it's really important to document immediately what you're doing. I think Hunchly is a pretty good tool for that. I don't know what other people are using.
And what are your thoughts on validating individual pieces of data that you find? Because I've spoken to other people who say when they're working with people that are just starting out in the industry, the first answer that they find, they assume is the correct answer. And we know that's not always true. So what advice do you give to people when they're doing their investigation and they find a piece of data to be able to properly validate it? How do you validate that one piece of information that you find? Maybe it's a date of birth, maybe it's a where somebody was born, maybe it's where they live. How do you deal with that?
Well, the important step is to even attempt to validate it. Like, you have to question the information, you have to question your own conclusions. You know, you're saying, from my investigation, I'm saying, yeah, you know, this guy, I found out, you know, he says he has a PhD from this university. There's nothing to show there is. I got him, you know, but then I have to question myself, well, is that really true? I have to essentially play, you know, the counter argument myself. It's actually really good to have somebody else for that, to have somebody questioning your conclusions, and to work in a team with at least one other person who just, who tries to essentially sabotage your investigation. And sometimes I have to do that myself, and I have to say, hey, no, that's not it. Or you come up with an excuse that person would come up with. No, it's just, you know, it was, you know, there's this or that. And you have to research what essentially, what if I'm that person and I want to still claim that I have this degree, what could my excuses be, you know? And then I have to test and these excuses, you know, why is that not true? Or why couldn't that be true? And so, yeah, you have to go into a lot of detail. But yeah, I just question yourself or question your own conclusions, your own data. If it's a Facebook post from somebody, well, the reliability of that, you know, is low. But it can be a very good, you know, a pivot, or it can be a very good indication of where else you should be looking.
Yeah, on my work team, when we do an OSINT report, we bounce them off of each other and have people check them. And there is probably nothing more frustrating and maddening in a good way when someone points out something that you wrote in the report and they're like, how do you know that? How can you prove that? And if they're reading it and they can't definitively tell that it is true, it's like, oh, okay, I guess I have to go back and find more about that kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's a really important step in this information gathering, because all you're dealing with is information. You don't really know what's true, and you really have to prove it.
One question that I always ask guests on here is, if somebody is starting out, what advice do you give to them to be able to learn the field and possibly get to where you are today?
Well, I haven't had a straightforward path. I guess if somebody's young, they should probably go to university and study some related field of cybersecurity, or I'm not sure what you would study, because I didn't study all of these. I was self-taught just based on my life circumstances. But yeah, if you probably want to, you know, take part in some type of formal course of study. In my previous career, actually, I mean, I always thought that, hey, anybody could do what I'm doing, you know, if they just learned it for the like 3 weeks or something, then even though I have a degree in all this, and really anybody could do that. So maybe it's like that with OSINT as well.
And you said sometimes people reach out to you with requests for you to investigate somebody? Are you still taking requests? Can just anybody reach out to you and hire you, pay you to investigate someone? And if so, how can they do that?
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, my DMs are open on Twitter. And I do get these, I haven't published this. I don't have permission. I don't think these tips from people. What's going on right now? There's a police chief, I guess, somewhere that doesn't have the degree they need. And hopefully that'll go somewhere. But yeah, somebody can contact me on Twitter, and I'm either willing to be hired or help out, you know, if the information is short enough, just or give somebody tips on where they want to take an investigation themselves.
Mr. Fake PhD Investigator, thank you so much for joining today on the Layer 8 podcast.
Thank you very much.